little cozy here today, Chuck.
Yeah, you've got a few people in here, don't you?
Just a few. A few of our close personal friends.
Oh, really? I remember Erin from... You were here last time, I do believe.
Yeah, I was.
She's a youngster from Windsor, isn't she?
And a guy over here in the corner wearing the cool Wayne State hoodie, he was here before.
Yeah, that's Andrew Cucchiera.
The rest of them are newbies.
Cucchiera?
It's Cucchiera.
How you doing? Good to see you.
You know, you need to show up to pre-show meetings there, Hazard.
I was stuck in the green room, you know. Talk to the caterer on that one.
Hazard's doing the dishes. You know how he is.
Yeah. Seriously, was he? Because we were all waiting for him.
Yeah.
He was doing the dishes.
Straightening out the kitchen.
Straightening it up for you there.
Turning off your oven that you left on.
Hazard, call time is call time.
But there's dishes to be done. You know where he is. More it's a good thing you didn't.
I know who the star of the show is.
Anyway, welcome. This is Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network, 88.1 FM, WBFH, and 89.5 WAHS, Auburn Hills. Ron, Chuck, and Hazard here. And this is Wayne State Warrior Racing Day. We try to do this every year. Last year, it was April, I believe. Right, Erin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And we try to have them in every year, and we try to tell our audience about what's going on at Wayne State Warrior Racing, because the three of us are alums of Wayne State University.
And quite frankly, it's the only racing I really care about.
there you go.
Hazard, on the other hand, he watches people go around in circles for 2 hours at a time.
NASCAR, doing it all.
Yeah, he does it all.
So, joining us this evening... we've got six of them. How many are on the team, the total? How many, like 20-something?
No, it grew a lot this year. There's about 40
members. 40? 40
yeah.
members?
We I don't know, jumped right up there. We have a lot of new people.
Well, it's because you were on the show last year and you recruited. You used us.
Yeah.
You blatantly used us, which is great. And that's what we want to do here. That's Erin Cornell here. She is the business manager for Wayne State Warrior Racing. So let's start. Let's introduce everybody. Andrew Cucchiera. And on my notes here, you're the chassis director.
That is correct.
I can't hear you. You got to get to the microphone. There you go. There you go.
But yes.
Okay. Now, do you have your BS yet? Or
no. Okay. I'm still working on it.
Okay. So you're looking.
Take your time. There's no hurry.
Take a gap year. It's fine.
It only took me 7 years. See if you can beat that.
Seven?
Seven.
Dude, I was 14.
Yeah, but you stopped and went back. I never stopped going.
I own a wing down at Wayne State, part of Old Main, actually. Yeah. Don't tell anybody that.
And you know what, Zach? I don't have your name on here.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it doesn't exist.
No, because all right, Zach, what's your last name?
Fish.
Fish.
Yes.
You're kidding. That's your last name? Sounds like an air name.
Last name ever.
All right. So we've got Andrew Cucchiera, we've got Zach Fish, and then we've got Erin Cornell. Then we've got Mark Tellier.
Yeah.
Okay. Did I do it right?
Yeah, you're good.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Tellier. And then we've got Eric Hopton. And then Nitin Kumar.
Yes.
There we go. So we've got Wayne State Warrior Racing. They're going to be joining us for the broadcast tonight. We're going to find out what's going on, what's new, what's happening. Adam Niner and Jay Beck in the past have been on the show. So has Andrew and Erin. So we'll catch up and see what's going on with Jay Beck and everyone else there over at Wayne State Warrior Racing. Let's see what
else
is going on.
Probably paying off their student loans.
Oh, you're making me laugh. Well, why don't we just do the disclaimer and then get this show going, okay?
Okay.
All right. The views and comments expressed on the following program do not reflect those of the Avondale or Bloomfield Hills school districts, their respective school boards, their superintendents, managers, teachers, or staff, or the staff of WBFH, its management, or staff either. In fact, the only person responsible for the content of the following program is...
Hazard.
There you go. If you happen to be offended by what we say and are forced to flee to your locally designated safe place, we humbly apologize beforehand. You like that, Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah, I aspire to be a comedy writer. How am I doing?
Pretty good so far.
All right, thank you. Right. We mean no harm and certainly have no agenda. We're just exercising our privilege to take the transmitter out for a short drive this evening. Once we're done, we'll return the keys to the transmitter shack and then duck out the back door. So please, don't call the cops. We can't afford bail. Instead, just relax and enjoy our little old dog and pony show.
Thank you.
It's time to dust off the Atwater Kent and have another go at it. Bloomfield Community Radio presents Motor City Static, the only live and local thing happening this side of the railroad tracks. Turn off that TV. Put down that cell phone. Throw away that trashy novel.
But it was the pictures anyway.
We've got a better way to waste your quality time. And all you need to do is pay attention. From the studios somewhere near the Grand Trunk Western, Motor City Static is on the air.
Emanating from the luxurious yet not overly ostentatious confines of a studio near the Grand Trunk Western, this is Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network, and already I've got the gremlins going here, Chuck.
Yeah, the board op is...
I'm just overwhelmed. I've never had these many people looking at me one time before.
That's true.
So I get a little nerved.
Well, you did once before, that I recall.
Yeah?
When we did the... fundraiser at the new auditorium.
Oh, that's right, Biffstock.
Biffstock.
2016.
You had this at least this many people looking at you
in the audience.
Maybe one or two more.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ron, Chuck, and Hazard here on the Biff Radio Network. We're having a blast. We've got Wayne State Warrior Racing here with us. We've got six of the members. We've got Andrew Kukiera, Aaron Cornell, Mark Tellier, Eric Hopton, Nitin Kumar, and Zach Fish. And we're going to talk everything and anything about Wayne State Warrior Racing, because every year I like to help them out as much as I can.
Indeed. Did you guys go to the auto show this year?
We did. Yes.
All right. I was going to come down and see you, but it was just too darn crowded when I was there. And I was like, well, I'm going to see him in a couple weeks. We'll talk about it then.
Yeah, our area wasn't too busy because we were in the basement.
Zach, you got to get on the mic. Oh. There you go.
Our area wasn't too busy this year. We were down in the basement.
Yeah.
It was kind of nice, though. It was the automobile ID. It was a new thing they're doing for all the autonomous industry.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool seeing all the future technology, and a lot of those people in industry came through our booth, so it was kind of cool to see.
Well, that's cool.
That's a great opportunity to network and then show your stuff off.
Absolutely.
And then exchange ideas, so appreciate that. All right, so who wants to start here? Who shall we have? Aaron?
I think Mark should start.
Mark? Well, first of all, who's the ranking member here? Is it Andrew and Aaron? Aaron's the business manager, and then you're the chassis director, and then Mark, you're induction, right?
I am.
What does an induction person do at
air,
Wayne State?
Air and fuel intake into the engine of the car, really. So any kind of that voodoo. I get to have my hands in.
Okay, what year are you at Wayne State?
Actually, I have a degree from them already.
Oh!
Yeah, I got that in music, but now I'm on the second one. Yeah. So you can kind of see why I'm back. This would be my second year in the engineering program here. It's my first year on the team.
So you went 4 years with a music degree.
Yep.
And then what sparked your interest in mechanics?
That was just ongoing, through tinkering, through high school, still into college for the first degree, and I always thought it would have been another kind of career path that I could do instead of music if that didn't work out, so I kind of just went plan B with it, and here we are.
All right, so what is your music degree in?
Instrumental performance. I'm a trumpet player.
No kidding. Did you know Michael Miller?
No, actually.
The guitar player?
No.
No.
No. Yeah, when you go for performance, it's usually more classical stuff than jazz stuff.
Yeah, he was a classical guitar player.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We didn't see much of them either.
Okay.
Well, you know, now that he tells me he's a trumpet player, he's just changing a set of valves for another set of valves. Intake.
Oh. Yes, pretty much.
I had never made that joke before.
Well, that's an observation. That's why I'm in radio and you're not.
All right.
So anyway, you're in your second year, and what's it like? Do you like it?
Yeah, actually. I'm a lot more busy, I feel like, but that actually is a good thing. It's nothing I'm upset about. And I kind of like all of the content that I'm actually learning in the program so far as well. There hasn't been a single thing that I was disappointed to learn or have my hands in yet. So.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So, Andrew, what's going on with you?
Same old story as it was a year ago. Just work, school, and being part of the team.
Okay. Zach?
I'm a member of the Air Force National Guard out here at Selfridge Air National Guard Base. I also work at Roush as a prototype mechanic, doing electrical. And in the military, I do electrical work as well. But somehow I'm doing my bachelor's at Wayne State in mechanical engineering. So I guess I have a good set of skills, kind of mix it up a little bit.
Slow down there, big fella.
Yeah. on the team, I'm an electrical member. I've been specifically researching a lot of CAN networks and how we can better utilize that on our vehicle for next season. And I'm also, I actually just got elected to the business captain for next season.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Aaron, what's up with you?
Same stuff.
Same stuff. You made parole. Everything's going well. That's nice. Good for you.
Yeah, this year I'm the business director on the team.
Why don't you pull that mic over for her, Mark?
Taking care of all the, fun business and events we do.
Well, there's a lot of stuff behind the scene. Scenes that you have to do.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty busy with all of that always.
Okay.
And then school and work like these other guys too.
Okay. And then you're I guess would be the chief fundraising director for all of this then? Everyone clears through you because you have to handle everything or
That's my job, I guess.
Okay. Okay. That's good. Now Eric?
This is my first year on the team as well.
So what piqued your interest to join? Why?
Well, I don't know. So, I've always liked cars, and I've been working. I have my degree in CAD, so I wanted to pursue
more. That's computer-aided design those of us who are, don't know the vernacular.
And I wanted to pursue, a racing team-type position.
Uh-huh.
And I've read, and I'm sure these guys all know it too, that putting Formula SAE on your resume is very big help.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
To get jobs like that. And... But the also another thing is I get to learn a lot about a lot of things that I didn't think I would learn about.
Such as?
Such as I'm the new frame captain, and I didn't think I was very interested in frame or anything. And Andrew over there kind of, I wouldn't say forced me into the position, but no. Strongly encouraged me.
Strong-arming?
You got strong-armed into that.
Yeah. What, did he have some
when he came
compromising
in,
photos or something? All right, Eric,
possibly,
come here.
Possibly.
Two things. I got to show you something. Number two, you're the new frame captain.
Pretty much.
That's exactly what happens.
Okay. And then Nitin, how long have you been with the program?
I'm actually an international student. I came here to achieve my master's degree.
Oh, where are you from?
I'm from India.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. So as long as, as I came to US, I joined Water Racing the same month. I came to US in August, and I was trying to be a member of Water Racing in the same month. So yeah, I coming from a different country, right, trying to learn the culture. It's very important. You need to have friends. So this is people have common interest, and making friends that way is easy.
See, part of this is my skill at trying to make friends too. I invite everybody over, and if they like me, then I feel good about myself. So I can.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just sneaked in the office, and
What I would do is I would try food and soft drinks because that usually seems to work, right, Zach?
Oh, absolutely.
There you go. So, pardon me for not remembering. So, how long have you been here?
This is my second year.
All right, second year. And then you've been 2 years with Wayne State Warrior Racing.
Yes. Okay. So, I'll be graduating in May, so that's good. But sadly, I had to leave Warrior Racing because if you graduate, that's...
Well, I could always redshirt you into radio, and then I could teach you radio and make you stay, and then we can work with them.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, we can
get used to this.
All right. So, and what is your position here with Wayne State Warrior Racing?
I am a FEA captain, so that's called finite element methods. Right. So they basically, whatever these guys design, I make sure that I put everything on numbers and prove that. And what I'm trying to do is trying to simulate everything in a software, get those numbers out, and show it to judges, this is going to work. And then there's a practical aspect of it. So as long as things don't break, I'm fine.
It's kind of like the show.
Before you get ready to leave, I got a little insight. Does Adam Niner still have that Warrior Racing alumni thing going on that he started a couple years back?
Yes, Warrior Racing Legacy, yeah.
There you go. You don't have to go anywhere.
Well,
Warrior Racing
my thunder.
Legacy.
That was my next little selling point.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I thought faster than you did for a change.
Yeah, you apparently are. All right, so tell us about Wayne State Warrior Racing Legacy. Who wants to do that? I think Aaron should.
You think I should?
I think you should. Pull the microphone down there.
Okay. The Warrior Racing Legacy, that's something, you know, Adam Niner started a few years back. And
2015, I believe, according to my notes.
This year we had a lot of old members come back and teach all of these 40 new guys things about the car and how they can get their hands dirty and start working on it. We also have people that have been on the team always coming back and visiting and staying connected with the team. So that's important, and it's good.
Okay. I have a website here, fsae.eng.wayne.edu.
Yes.
That takes us to your webpage. That's fsae.eng.wayne.edu. And it's a nice website. It's is that in-house design?
Yeah, that's what we have our webmaster, Anu. She's not here right now, but she takes care of putting up all the logos and making sure it's always updated.
It's nice and clean, and it's a great presentation. A lot of times people go over the top on their web design, Chuck, Hazard, and you can't find half the stuff you need to find.
Really?
You know, that's what I had to do with our radio website.
I know, you updated that recently as well.
So tell her a good job.
Okay, I will.
Okay, because I'm not that bright, see, so I need things to navigate through, and she helped me, so I appreciate that. I also have an email address here, Chuck.
You do?
In case, I hope this is a valid email address, formulasae@wayne.edu. Is that correct?
Andrew checks that all the time, so...
I don't know if anyone has access to that web or that email anymore. Let's change that one to
Kukiera at gmail.com or something. Or
yeah, just get out Andrew's
engineering
email
stud at email.com or whatever.
What is it? WSUFSAE@gmail.com.
WSUFSAE@gmail.com. Okay, and I'll duly noted, and we'll talk about that throughout the night. All right, this is Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. If you're just tuning by, this is the best radio show you'll hear all evening, and it's the best broadcast you'll experience all weekend long. If you want to find out about us, our website is MotorCityStatic.com, MotorCityStatic.com. And before we leave tonight, I want to get some photos so that we can put it up on our website. Is that okay?
Sure.
Yes.
Perfect.
We'll do that. And we have our regular features this evening.
Yeah, I got to warn you, our Big Words with Ron producer worked overtime this week.
Uh-oh.
So you have five very challenging words, Ron.
Oh, boy.
I hope you've been paying attention to your dictionary this last week.
I've been trying. And then our other features we have this week in rock history.
We do.
Okay. And then Hazard a Guess. The theme in honor of Wayne State Warrior Racing will be automobiles.
Great.
So we will. Are you all playing as one team, or will you be playing individually?
I think we need to break them up. Yeah. Maybe three and three.
Yeah, we can.
A little challenge going on.
There you go. I like that.
Okay.
I like
Geezer.
So we'll be doing that.
I think we got the good side.
In the meantime, do we happen to have a song?
We do. Last week after the show, I went to the Diesel Concert Lounge in Chesterfield and saw my guitar playing hero, none other than Mr. Frank Hannon. He was in town doing a solo show. Here's a song he didn't do off his Gypsy Highway CD. This is Sweet Southern Sound on Motor City Static.
That's Uncle Chuck's good friend Frank Hannon here on Motor City Static, and the song is called Sweet Southern Sound.
Yes, it also appeared on the Moondog Main CD, which was the band Frank was working with when he during the Tesla breakup years.
Mm-hmm.
And there it is, solo and acoustic for the most part.
All right, and we're going to be featuring music from Chuck tonight?
Absolutely.
It's one of the high points of this broadcast is being exposed to all that neat music that you bring in.
Oh, I got some good stuff, too.
All right, Motor City Static round Chuck Hazard. We've got Wayne State Warrior Racing in the house. Today is the 25th day of February. It's a Sunday. The year is 2018.
It's flying by.
We've got 309 days left, and that would make this day the 56th day of the year.
I just found out that Walmart is going to be closed the 29th, the 30th, and 31st.
What for?
Of this month.
He got you, Ron.
He got me. Oh. I wasn't paying attention.
I was focused on that for far too long. I'm a little embarrassed.
That's all right. Anyway,
that's what Hazard does. He embarrasses people.
Today's highlight in history on February 25th, 1793. Hazard was around then. President George Washington held the first cabinet meeting on record at his Mount Vernon home, kind of like what we're doing here.
He ordered, you think, what are you drinking, Starbucks back then?
Yeah, Starbucks. He had pizza and ribs, a couple of the guys over. Let's see, Secretary of State Tom Jefferson, Treasury Secretary Alexander Hamilton, Secretary of War Henry Knox, and then Attorney General Edmund Randolph. So they stopped by for that. Let's see, on this date in 1836, Sam Colt patented his revolver. In 1905, the Upton Sinclair novel The Jungle was first published in serial form by the Appeal to Reason newspaper. In 1913, the 16th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, giving Congress the power to levy and collect income taxes, was declared in effect. I know, I feel your pain, Eric. Was declared in effect by Secretary of State Philander Chase Knox. In 1950, your show of shows starring Sid Caesar, Imogene Coca, Carl Reiner, and Howard Morris debuted on NBC TV. And Carl Reiner's still around. He's 94, I believe, father of
Rob Reiner.
Rob Reiner, that's right. Muhammad Ali became the world heavyweight champion as he defeated Sonny Liston in Miami Beach on this day. Didn't give the year.
Was he Muhammad Ali then?
Or was he Cassius Clay.
All right.
Let's see what else is going on. 5 years ago, former U.S. Surgeon General C. Everett Koop died in Hanover, New Hampshire. He was 96. 96 years old. First name was Charles. He was the 13th and only one to become a household name. He was served in the Reagan administration. And let's see. Actors. Oh, Bill Paxton died this day a year ago.
Really?
Yeah, he went in for heart surgery.
Never came out. That's sad.
Family has filed a wrongful death suit on him. So let's get to these birthdays. Former CBS newsman Bob Schieffer is 81. Karen Grassel is 76. Remember her mom, Ingalls?
No.
Little House on the Prairie?
Never watched it.
Okay. Former professional wrestler Ric Flair is 69. Jack Handy is 69. Rock singer, musician, actor John Doe. From X is 65. Mike Peters from The Alarm.
Yeah, you're stealing my thunder now. Paybacks. Oh, huh?
See, there you go.
That's all right.
Taya Leone is 52. Carrot Top is 51. Sean Astin, 47. Chelsea Handler is 43. And Rashida Jones is 42.
You mentioned Ric Flair.
Yeah.
You know, there's a big thing coming to Frasier, whatever they call it now, Hockey Land, I think. A bunch of the former wrestling stars are going to be there.
Cool.
Ted DiBiase is going to be there.
Really?
Yeah. I forget who else is there, but those types. Ted DiBiase. I think Hacksaw Jim Duggan's going to be there, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wow.
Want to go, Hazard?
I'm there.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to take a break. We'll come back.
Million Dollar Man, baby.
Segment number two here on the Biff Radio.
Hazard's going to be like a 12-year-old.
Get that work. Segment number two here in Motor City Static. Ron Chuck Hazard and the Wayne State Warrior Racing Team. Andrew Cucchiera, Aaron Cornell, Mark Tellier, Eric Hopton, Nitin Kumar, Zach Fish. Did I forget anybody?
Me. I'm just kidding.
She's always after me. Mm-hmm. Information on the team, fsae.eng.wayne.edu, fsae.eng.wayne.edu. And Andrew says the email address is wsufsae@gmail.com. WSUFSAE@gmail.com. All right, so let's talk about the new car. What's that all about?
Well, the new car, RW12, doesn't exist yet.
Okay.
We're working on it. So in the meantime, what we decided to do last year was take RW11, and we were going to use that for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little loophole in the rule that we're exercising, so we're doing that this year. So we used it last summer, and we're going to use it a little bit this summer, and then a year from now is when RW12 will exist.
Okay, so it's in the planning stage now, right?
It is. Eric and Nitin are actually working on a lot of the frame stuff. They've been doing a lot of preliminary work on that as far as changes that we have wanted to implement, and they got some cool stuff coming
in the pipeline, potentially. We'll see.
If it works.
if it works.
Exactly.
So how long does it take for you to from the drawing or the conceptual drawing stage until it's finished? What kind of timeline are we looking at here? Do you know? See to the pants? What's the deal?
This is my first year. I know. I don't know the process.
Well,
there's a lot of work that goes into designing it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So depending on... there's a lot of factors that go into it, but let's say we'll start designing the car late August, early September when the fall semester starts, and we'll have deadlines set up, so by the time Thanksgiving comes around, we'll have a final design in CAD.
Okay.
The car will exist 100% complete, and within that next month, you know, we'll go through some reviews, make sure, hey, you know, does this make sense? Will this work? In case we have to change anything significant, we have that buffer built in. But typically we start manufacturing the car over Christmas break, and that goes through really till about April. So a good, you know, 3 to 4 months of build time from...
You know, Eric, that's the answer that I wanted. You could have made something up.
Yeah, so we usually typically build our car over Christmas break.
See, what Andrew didn't say is that last year, if I'm not wrong, because this is my first year as well, last year they were actually putting...
This is Zach talking. Go ahead.
They were building the wiring harness the night before competition.
What? Hey.
So it doesn't always go according to plan.
Tape. That's funny. But, you know, that's competition that happens that way. I mean, I'm sure in a lot of these design facilities, you know, Dearborn and Chelsea and all that, or Proving Grounds, they're binding that stuff up last minute, too, to get out and, you know, make the stuff work.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the difference between controlled planning on a CAD machine and the real world is, you know, vastly different sometimes.
Yeah, and that's something that we're still learning year in and year out is, you know, you design something on the computer and you make it and like, okay, it came out, but why is that off?
Go get a hammer.
Pretty much. So,
in my job at Roush, we actually, my supervisor was telling me about one of the engineers. He didn't design one of the parts 100% correct, and so they finally turned the engine on, and it just exploded because he didn't simulate it correctly in CAD. So when they finally put it on the car, it just didn't work. So that's one of those things that we have to look out for, is making sure that we actually go through the simulations, which Nitin does. And make sure we do those simulations correctly, or else we'll have a lot of broken parts later on.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big oops.
Yeah.
How hard is it to find the engines? Because you guys use a specific engine. Is it still the same one you were using all along?
Yeah, it's still the same Honda four-cylinder engine that we've been using. It goes back a while, really. Mm-hmm. I think probably since the team's inception in 2003, there's a couple variants of that motor that I think we switched to, I'm not sure, 2010, let's say. It could have been after that, but yeah, we have a good stockpile of engines, actually.
Okay.
I think
10 now or something.
No, yeah, it's 13.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I'm pretty sure. Wow. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Mo built up a stockpile of about 13 motors.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Funny because if you ask him why there's that many, he's like, "Yeah, it's a good deal on Craigslist. I couldn't leave."
That's exactly what it is. Exactly what it is, and they're all used, but you know, we'll use them anyway. But we got a few rebuilt. I know. Mark, I don't know if you've been helping with that, but I know we've had a few engines rebuilt, so we'll have some fresh motors for a little bit.
All right, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Do you
yeah.
ship them out to have them rebuilt, or do you have any specialists on staff to rebuild them?
Dusty. Dustin is our engine lead, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah. We
rebuilding
so
all of them.
It's done in-house.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, and it's part of learning. You know, I think Mo would call it the Bible. I know I would if I was in his position, but it's a whole manual on how to rebuild and maintenance these engines and such. So it's a time-consuming process, but you get to control it. You get to learn, you know, how these engines function and, you know, what all these different parts do. And, you know, it's that hands-on experience that helps, you know, just give you that experience and that edge mm-hmm. when in the job field. So, and it allows us to try different things as well. So some of the engines that were rebuilt, I don't want to give away all of our secrets, but they got
I'll turn the transmitter off. Don't worry about it.
But they have some different modifications on the inside of them in an effort to, you know, increase fuel economy and power and make the drivability better as well. So we're working, we're tinkering on all parts of the car to make it better.
Well, that's good. All right, so the car's not built, but you're using number 11.
Yep.
When's the next competition? I was on the website. Lincoln was your big thing this past year, right?
Yep.
When did that happen?
That was June of last year.
June of last year. Okay.
And then the next competition for this year is going to be in our backyard at MIS, Michigan International Speedway.
That's in Brooklyn, yeah.
Yep, and that'll be May 9th through the 12th.
Okay, and then the information is on your website, which is
right in front of,
yeah, there we go.
Yeah, .eng.wayne.edu.
Okay, so we've got that going there. We're going to go to a song?
You want to do a song, or you want me to do the What This Day in Music thing?
Well, we can do that, too.
Whichever you want. I can do either. All right. Ready. Whichever you prefer, Ron.
All right, let's do that, then.
Time for This Day in Rock History with Chuck Riffenberg. What happened, Uncle Chuck?
Oh, a lot of things happened. In fact, on this date in 1967, two things happened. Pink Floyd appeared at the Ricky Ticky Club in Hounslow, England, and the Yardbirds were filmed performing in a recreation of the club built at MGM Studios in Borehamwood for Michelangelo Antonioni's 1966 film, Blow Up. In 1977, the Jam signed to Polydor Records UK for £6,000, or the equivalent of $10,200. They went on to have 18 consecutive top 40 singles in the UK from their debut in 1977 to their breakup in 1982, including four number one hits. As of 2007, That's Entertainment and Just Who Is This 5 O'Clock Hero remain the best-selling import singles of all time in the UK. In 1981, winners at the Grammy Awards included Bob Seger, who won Best Rock Performance for Against the Wind, Pat Benatar won Best Female Performance for Crimes of Passion, and Christopher Cross won Best New Artist and Best Song for Sailing.
You don't hear from him anymore.
No, you really don't, do you?
No. And he was a big thing in 1982.
Mm-hmm. In 1998, at Radio City Music Hall, Bob Dylan was handed three Grammys, including one for Best Album for the Time Out of Mind release. During Dylan's performance of the song, Michael Portnoy, hired as a background dancer, ripped his shirt off and jumped in amongst the band, revealing the words "soy bomb" painted on his chest. Also, that evening, during Sean Colvin's acceptance speech, ODB grabbed the microphone and made various observations, such as "Puffy is good, but Wu-Tang is the best." And Wu-Tang is for the children. He was then escorted from the stage. And Ron, you know who Michael Portnoy is, right?
No.
Yeah, Hazard, tell him.
He's a drummer for Dream Theater. He was, and now he's part of Winery Dogs and... He's now he's Sons of Apollo.
Yeah.
Oh, I have all their albums, yeah.
Yep. Well, you should, Ron, because it's a, it's a very good band right there and very good drummer Michael Portnoy is. In 2011, Susie Rotolo, you know who she is, right? She died from lung cancer.
Oh, my.
She was the one-time girlfriend of Bob Dylan and the inspiration for some of his early songs. Susan appeared in one of the decade's signature images, walking with Dylan arm in arm for the cover photo of his breakthrough album, Freewheelin'.
Yeah.
Bob Dylan. And since you stole my thunder
on Mike Peters...
one of my musical heroes was born on this day in 1959. And I've met Mike several times. But here's one from Bob Dylan on Motor City Static.
That's Bob Dylan all along the Watchtower on Motor City Static. Chuck, I've got so many things going on here, I can't pay attention. My mind is going. I'm having a meltdown here.
Really, to both of you? Hazard asked me, too. It's like, what's the name of this song?
I'm trolling. I'm busy.
Motor City Static, the best radio broadcast you hear. Yes.
Ask me the name of the song.
Chuck, what's the name of the song?
The answer, my friend, is Blowing in the Wind.
God. You're so funny.
Thank you.
The best radio broadcast you hear all weekend. This is Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network.
All week.
That's right. 88.1 FM, WBFH Bloomfield Hills, and 89.5, your station for alteration.
Whoa.
AHS Auburn Hills.
Oh, he used it.
Want to say hi to
Wes.
Wes Meisnitzer.
How are you, Wes?
Jim McNee.
And Mitchell Payne and the entire gang over there. Want to say hi to the school board. Thanks for letting us drive your transmitter this weekend. Appreciate that.
And the funny thing about that is they've met Hazard and they still let us have the keys.
I know.
Hey, can we go get a cheeseburger with Wes again? That was fun.
Whatever you want
to
do.
We don't have to do that whole radio thing. Just go get a cheeseburger.
Anytime you want. We'll let them know. And Wayne State Warrior Racing sitting here going, what? Who? Do we know these people? The answer is no. We're here with Andrew Cucchiera, Aaron Cornell, Mark Tellier, Eric Hopton, Nitin Kumar, and Zach Fish. They're representing Wayne State Warrior Racing. And since the three of us graduated from Wayne way back in the day, we thought, you know what? Let's reach out and bring our fellow brethren aboard and publicize what they're doing. Great stuff. If you don't know about Wayne State Warrior Racing, you should, because they compete with the big guns. So you compete with the U of M, MSU, I suppose, other colleges across the area.
Yeah.
The Midwest.
All over
the globe.
Across the world. Yeah, there's, obviously, like you said, you know, U of M, Michigan State, a couple other big schools that are pretty popular. You have Ohio State, sticking in the region, Illinois as well. And even far out west, you know, there's a lot of schools. From California, you got Cal Poly Pomona, San Jose State. They're really good. And then you get into the European team, especially those guys from Germany. They're pretty good. Mm-hmm. And they actually make the trek over to MIS as well. So you get to see a lot of, you know, you get to see a lot of good cars from here in America, and then you get the Germans coming over. And they take it up another level. And it gets a little ridiculous.
Yeah,
a little
disciplined about it, huh?
Well, that's because they cheat on their emissions tests. So.
So, Nitin, how long have you been? You travel with everyone for these events, right? Everyone travels together, or?
Yes.
Okay.
I went to Lincoln, Nebraska last.
Okay, is that the big one? Is that the big
one?
Yeah.
So
okay.
There are more than 80 teams competing. All over the U.S. and some teams were from out of the country too. Like they were from Canada and India and
all of North America. There were teams at Lincoln, and then I think there was one or two teams. There was a team that made it from Brazil, and I think Mexico as well. There was a team that made the trek, and I think like you had said, there was a team from India or Pakistan, electric team that made the track. So, yeah.
So what does a typical competition entail? What happens? I mean, you have. What do you do when you show up? I'm driving with you to Lincoln. What do we do?
So Lincoln's a fun drive.
Well,
Lincoln. You know, it starts out, and then you get around to Chicago, and you get a flat tire.
Oh, gee.
You're delayed about 5 hours because I don't know why. they're holding the car hostage for some reason. And then you finish the drive to Lincoln, and competition spans 4 days. You have various static events that happen the first 2 days, and then the last 2 days, Friday and Saturday, are the dynamic events, as they call them, where the cars are out on the courses.
So what's a static event?
Aaron?
There are three static events. Okay. So there's design, marketing, right, and then the cost events. So cost is where you have to tell them exactly how much it would cost to make one of these things, as if you were going to do like mass production of these vehicles. So that's good practice for the real world. And then marketing is kind of like that show Shark Tank.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's pretty
fun. I don't like that show. I do not like humiliating people, and sometimes these people are just for show, but they're not like that at the competition, are they?
No, because you explain why people should invest in your vehicle, and it's something you're pretty proud of at that point, so that's fun. And then the design event, that's where all of the engineers, designers, whoever on the team gets to defend all of their designs to the judges.
Okay. Now, is there a standard that you conform to with regard to the design? Are there legal things you can do and illegal things you can't do, but you do and you get away with them?
No, you don't get away with them.
Okay.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, there's a rules and regulation book. We have to adhere to a very strict set of rules, I'd say. Like one of the big ones is you have a 20-millimeter restrictor on your intake, which it really limits the amount of power that you get on the vehicle. There's a couple other things, like electrical, like you have to have a certain amount of kill switches on the vehicle to make sure it's safe for everybody. And it just a couple other little things that really, in the real world, you'll face the same thing as an engineer. So, I mean, it really prepares you as a student for what it will be like once you get into the industry. So it's nice because you have that strict set of rules.
Okay, and then the dynamic competition.
Before we finish up with the rules, I will say to defend what I mentioned before about you can skirt the rules a little bit.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, you do.
Probably shouldn't say this on air.
No, it's okay.
Do you want to talk about that?
So there's one of the things that one of the rules you have to meet is a minimum wheelbase. And we came.
Aaron's
really
giving you the nastiest look down right now.
You're really going to talk about wheelbase now. Yeah. We have MS coming up.
A wheelbase is good. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. Okay. Let's
move on. One side of the car, it's good. The other.
Wait.
Allegedly.
The other.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Well, you know, you hit the curb, you bent the frame. It's no big deal.
If the driver
it's
an act farts of, or something.
It's an act
over.
Of God. We can still compete.
Right.
All right. So let's play a song, and then we'll come back, and let's talk about some of the fundraisers that are coming up. Are you ready, Chuck? Did I catch you short?
You did, because
well, that's fine.
That's all right. I'll get something queued up here. Give me just a second.
All right. Wayne State Warrior Racing, the website fsae.eng.wayne.edu. We've got Wayne State Warrior Racing here. I hope you're all having fun.
Yeah,
we can see what you know. You talk about a mess. This look at this show; it's a mess too. It's not up to standards.
It's kind of like our team. So,
so we do our best every week here on Motor City Static to entertain everybody. We try to introduce them to interesting people in the neighborhood, and of course, since we're grads from Wayne State, we're going to do everything and anything we can to help them, the school, and help you. You ready now?
I'm ready.
How was that for stalling?
Pretty good, pretty good. Here's one from Detroit's own Bob Seger on Motor City Static.
Up with Bob Seger on Motor City Static, Ron Chuck and Hazard and the Wayne State Warrior Racing Team. Having a blast on a Sunday night. It's getting warm out there.
Yes, it is.
Windy.
Yeah.
I was woke this morning by the wind.
Yeah, it was that bad.
Yeah. I was like, whoa, is this place going to blow down or what?
Yeah, I got to go out and check the roof every once in a while to make sure I don't lose
any of those.
That's
not a bad idea. You know? I probably should have done that too.
Okay, so let's talk about social media.
Okay, go ahead. You start.
Wayne State Warrior Racing. I know you have a couple fundraisers up, and Aaron, during the song, was mentioning that we need to talk about the social media platforms that you have. As Mark pushes the mic towards Aaron. And Aaron.
Okay, you like us on Facebook at WSU Warrior Racing.
Okay.
And that's where you can see about our events we have coming up, too. Okay. We have a bake sale on February 28th where you can come to the College of Engineering and pick up some baked goods and support the team. And then a more fun event on March 11th. We're all going to Cart to Cart, so we're going to go go-kart racing.
Well, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Be sure to support Wayne State Warrior Racing. Appreciate that. Okay?
We do too.
Coming up, we're about 12 minutes away from Big Words with Ron. I feel like I'm going to be humiliated today.
Oh, you are. This is our goal every week.
In front of the Wayne State Warrior Racing
Where's
team.
The jazz guy? Which one's it? You're the jazz guy,
Mark.
Right?
Mark. No, just one. Trumpet guy, I guess.
Trumpet.
Can you handle that?
Yeah.
Hey, not yet. You get the outro, I get the intro.
Oh, okay.
But since you're a musician, usually we give it to the drummer, but there's no drummers here, right? No. So a trumpet player is going to have to suffice.
All right, well, I guess we'll make it.
Who did? Who dabbled in drumming?
It's not pretty, though.
Are you going to defer to the trumpet player?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
All right.
Trumpet playing is probably better than my hammering on drums.
All right. No pressure.
Chuck. Right.
The pressure's on Ron, not you.
Yeah, I'm under a lot of pressure.
Unless I don't know the words either.
Well, you don't have to know the words.
All right. Loophole.
Loophole. Just like Warrior whatever is a loophole for this year.
Yeah.
where you're 11.
From the website, studyfinds.org, those brand new running shoes may set you back a few $100, but it might be worth it after all, according to a new study, Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that running regularly is not only good for the heart and lungs, it's bad on the knees, we know that, but it also helps the brain preserve memory even when it's under attack by chronic stress. When your body activates its stress mechanisms to deal with potentially threatening situations, it sacrifices functions in other systems to create a fast response. Now, chronic or prolonged stress has worse effects over time. We know that. One of those negative effects, doctors say, is the weakening of the synapses or the electrical connections between neurons in the brain. This is the stuff that Aaron studies. In the hippocampus, where the brain forms memories and learning recall functions. A new study finds that jogging is not only good for the heart and lungs, it also helps the brain preserve memory when it's under attack by chronic stress. In ideal conditions, these synapses are strengthened over time in a process called long-term potentiation, that's LTP, allowing people to remember things more clearly. Chronic stress stunts LTP, which eventually leads to memory problems. Researchers at Brigham Young University found that concurrent exercise seems to offset the effects on LTP from chronic stress. That's why these people are so smart, because they're running after the car, right? Wait, I got to fix that.
Sometimes.
All right, we're going to take a break. Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. Hard to believe we're halfway over.
Yeah, and you're coming back for Big Words with Ron.
A big humiliation on my part.
Yeah, there's some, I'm telling you, Hazard worked overtime on this one.
Oh, my gracious. All right, Motor City Static will return after these messages.
The trumpet player.
It's always the trumpet player that's late. Here we go. Hey, oh, hi, Mark.
Actually,
hey.
Well, you know, that's accurate.
He came with cookies and water.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. All right, Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network here, beginning the second half of our broadcast, the best radio broadcast you hear all weekend. On 88.1 FM, WBFH Bloomfield Hills, and 89.5 WAHS Auburn Hills. Don't forget, we stream online, WBFH.FM, and the brand new WBFH website, designed by yours truly. I did all the coding by hand.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
One of my many talents.
I guess.
That and entertaining.
Okay.
I'm good at pizza and snacks.
Yeah, you're not bad. You can make a good... good meatballs?
Once in a while, yeah.
What was that thing you made us last time? Oh, Salisbury steak.
I made you Salisbury steaks, remember? I did
mashed potatoes.
I did the pork roast and the asparagus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, it's what I do.
Yeah,
it's part of my charm.
Yeah, absolutely. Always have Pepsi for me?
I try.
I appreciate that.
I try to be as courteous as possible. All right, it's time to be humiliated. No, wrong one.
Oh, wrong one. Man, the board op... We need to take him out back behind the shed.
Let's try this one. There we go. I'm having a day. All right, time to impress the Warriors. Here we go. Welcome to Metro Detroit's beloved quiz program that not only helps to build your vocabulary, but puts our beloved Uncle Ron in his place. It's time for Big Words with Ron on the Biff Radio Network. As you know, Uncle Ron tends to espouse his opinions with big $5 words that often leaves Chuck and Hazard addled, befuddled, and perplexed. This time, the table is turned to see Uncle Ron reacts. Can he bluff, guess, or reckon his way to the words we throw at him? You decide on Big Words with Ron. Now, from the luxurious yet not overly ostentatious studio near the Grand Trunk Western, here's your host, Chuck Rivenberg. There you go. That'll clear some dust out of your ears.
Do you got that trumpet player?
We'll find out in a minute.
Pass him the viper slap.
All right.
All right. We know any guest musician who comes here gets to do the viper slap on the outro.
Touchy.
Yeah, we had the drummer from Black Tie Event do that
last week. He did really good.
Yeah.
I was impressed. All right, Ron, are you ready?
No, I'm not ready, but I'm ready.
All right, your first word, its earliest documented use was in 1601. Believe it or not, it is from the Latin. You have two chances at the definition. One is a noun, one is an adjective. And your first word today, Ron, is Hyperborean.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Hyperborean.
Yes.
H-Y. P-E-R-B-O-R-I-A-N.
E-A-N.
E-A-N?
Mm-hmm. H-Y-P-E-R-B-O-R-E-A-N. Hyperborean.
So let's break this down.
It's from the Greek, actually. I misspoke. Not Latin.
That changes everything.
Oh, yeah, it does.
What's that, Eric?
That changes everything.
Yeah, absolutely. All bets are off now. Yeah. I have no friggin' clue.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Well, he's going to get one here. Let's break this word down first and foremost.
Okay.
Hyper. Hyper means, amped up. So it's Borean, but it's that extra step of Borean.
Correct.
Right?
Very good.
See extra, how this works, Mark?
Extra Borean.
Yeah.
Well, what we're looking at here, basically something that's Borean, but to the nth degree.
Like Borealis is a star.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's hyperborean, I'm thinking it has to do with fast space travel or something to that effect.
No.
Really?
Nope, not at all.
But your eyes danced when I said Borealis.
And that was because of the Deep Purple song.
Okay. All right, I'm going to have to go for a sentence on this one.
Okay, I think the sentence is going to give it away, but we will see. McIlroy was all set to marry tennis champion Caroline Wozniacki this summer when he suddenly developed hyperborean feet.
Hyperborean feet?
Oh, I think I got it.
Hold off. Hold off.
You mean like cold feet? Really?
Mm-hmm. That would be the adjective definition. The noun definition is an inhabitant of the extreme north. In the adjective definition, there's two, actually. One of them is relating to the extreme north, and the other is very cold. Well done, Ron. Well done.
Well, that explains all the hyperborean responses I've had on the dating site, because yeah. The ladies were just, like, really cold.
Uh-huh. All right, let's move on to the second word, Ron. You have one chance at the definition.
Okay.
Its earliest documented use was in 1576. It is from the Latin, and your word is gerent.
Gerent?
Gerent.
G-E-R-A-N-T.
G-E-R-E-N-T.
Gerent. Okay. My brother's name is Gerald, mm-hmm. and it's spelled with a G. G-E-R-R-Y. So I would say it would have to be pertaining to my brother Jerry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. From the stories you've told me, it does relate to his brother Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was going
Jerry
for
laughs. Jerry might say it would relate to you, however.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How so?
Because it's one of those things that you have discussions about.
Okay. I'll have the sentence, please.
Might give it away again, but we'll go for it. Great deputy, the Welkin's vicegerent and sole dominator of Navarre.
Where's the sentence?
That's what they gave us.
It's a fragment. Andrew, Zach, Aaron, am I missing something here? Mark?
Maybe.
Eric? Nitin?
Maybe it means Jerry's cool.
What is that fragment? What does it say?
Great deputy.
Great deputy.
The Welkin's vicegerent and sole dominator of Navarre.
It's like ruler or something?
Oh.
Whoa. Hey.
Whoa.
Left field. Who got that one? Wow.
I don't get that because he stole it.
No, you're right. You don't. He stole it.
So it doesn't count against you.
It doesn't count against you.
Oh, like Wait a minute.
You are welcome.
All right, we'll make up the rules as we go along. Why not?
That would be a nolo cotendere.
Yes.
All right. So what does that mean? What was the word definition of it?
A ruler.
Ruler.
Yes.
Who got that?
Ruler or manager. Mark. The trumpet player over there.
Hey.
He may be the design guy?
Frame.
No, air intake.
Air intake. Oh, that's good, because you blow out
actually,
air.
Actually, I never realized that.
And your intake. Yeah, that's pretty good. So you can use your theories from trumpet playing on the air intake design.
That's
of
what I said.
Warrior
it was valves.
12.
Yeah. It's all valves.
If an interview ever starts to go really south and I want to mess around, I'm going to throw that in there and see what happens.
Why not?
But first of all, I'd like to play Rhapsody in Blue for you.
I was going to ask if you like, you know, brought your trumpet and played like Reveille before every race or anything.
No.
It might be an idea. No, set you apart from all the other teams out there. Just saying. Who's the marketing person?
Aaron.
There's an idea for you, Aaron.
All right, let's go.
All right, your next word, Ron, is earliest documented use was in 1586. It's from the old French. You took French, didn't you?
Mais oui, monsieur.
In college or high school or something?
8 years of it.
Yeah. Let's see. What is it here? It is a adjective.
All right.
Got one chance at the definition.
Oh, boy.
The word is defeasible.
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 Defeasible?
Defeasible.
And like feasible with D in front of it, right?
Correct.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not.
And feasible is F-E-A-S-I-B-L-E, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's feasible, it's doable. If it's defeasible, it's not doable.
Wrong.
You got to be kidding.
Oh, that's where I was going with that.
Yeah, right. See? Great minds think alike.
Man, both great minds were wrong
so,
in this case.
So D, the prefix D would mean the opposite.
Correct.
All right. So if it's feasible,
mm-hmm.
then it's not doable.
No, not according to this definition.
Is it like to make not doable?
Wait a minute. The trumpet player is trying to pipe in here.
I know.
No, that's not what it means at all over there.
Well, now I'm going to not pipe
in. All right. Let's look at this logic here. If you're defeatable, that means you can win against an opponent. So that means featable means it's doable. Okay. Feasible.
No. Don't go soft on him, Hazard. You worked all week on this. Let's make him sweat a little bit.
All right.
Ruth wouldn't give it to you.
She would never give me anything.
That's true.
All right. If it's feasible, it's doable. If it's defeasible,
mm-hmm.
you make it so it's not doable.
I don't think doable is the right word. I think it's...
Do you know this word?
I've heard it used, but I don't...
Really?
I don't think it's... Like, it's not possible. It's something else. Another word that is more...
And it's a simple accurate word, right?
Yeah.
If it's feasible, it's doable. If it's defeasible, that means there's another way to do it.
No.
All right, I guess we're going to have to give up on this one.
Don't you want the sentence?
Oh, yeah, I do get a sentence, don't I? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know that word?
No.
No, okay.
Surely many moral duties are...
Don't call me Shirley.
Ronald.
Yes.
Many moral duties are defeasible, and in that sense, relative. We all recognize that although lying is typically wrong, under certain circumstances, to protect someone's life, for example, it's justifiable.
Defeasible?
Defeasible.
Read that again.
Can I use the word surely this time?
Yes, you may.
Surely, many moral duties are defeasible, and in that sense, relative. That's the sentence. But then it goes on to say, we all recognize that although lying is typically wrong, under certain circumstances, to protect someone's life, for example, it is justifiable. Defeasible.
Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do it.
Correct.
So I'm trying to find a word that means the same as defeasible, and I can't put my finger on it.
Would it be like ambiguous?
No.
Wow.
Overridable.
Ignorable. Fudgeable.
Overridable is close.
Oh, all right.
Oh.
You're getting
a quiz look from
what
Hazard.
What do you want, Hazard? We're not giving this one away. This is my game.
Like flashback to ethics class.
I'm the gerent in this instance.
You're witnessing Chuck's last day on the show. If he's going to be
sorry
treating
with me,
defeasible. I haven't a clue.
Last call for Warrior Racing. Any guesses over there?
I'll throw out some along the lines of ignore.
No.
Bypass.
No.
Prima facie.
What'd you call
no.
me?
No.
Well, there's going to be a fight.
I haven't a clue. Are you giving it up? Giving up?
No, that's ethics clue.
Capable of being revised, defeated, or annulled. Defeasible.
Capable of being defeated.
No, capable of being revised, defeated, or annulled.
So we were all defeasible just now.
Yes, you were all defeasible just now.
We kind of got it, but he's being a tough guy.
Hey, Alex Trebek wouldn't have accepted it. Neither will Chuck. All right, Ron, let's continue on here because we do have five words.
I know, and right now I've got, one and two.
You're one for two, right, because word number three was a wash.
Yeah, because Mark stole it.
Mark stole it.
Gosh, Mark.
That's okay. It was fun. It made for good radio.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, our next word, Ron.
Yes.
Its earliest documented use was 1891.
1891.
It's from the Greek. You have one chance at the definition, which is, hold on, a noun. And the word is benthos.
Benthos?
Mm-hmm.
Benthos. Sounds like a candy, like Mentos.
Yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm. But you probably won't want to relate those two after you hear what the definition is.
Jeez. So it's gross is what it sounds like.
Benthos. It could be. It could be. Some people might find them to be beneficial.
Aaron, you've got a frown on your face. Do you know the word?
No, I don't know.
Oh, you just have a frown on your face, right?
No, I'm not.
Why are you always frowny? Don't
I'm
be frowny.
Not.
You're having fun.
I am.
I drove all the way for this.
My thinking face.
That's what you're doing. Right. Thinking face. She's intimidating when she thinks that way.
Benthos. Focus, Ron.
I'm trying to focus. Benthos. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's a Greek word because of the O-S on the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's a noun. Benthos. Is it a gas?
No.
Solid liquid or gas? It's like methane, bethos,
or plasma.
I believe it's solid.
It's solid. All right, I'm gonna. What are you laughing at, Eric? Nathan, what are you laughing at? Would you like to tell the class?
He just said it could be a plasma.
It could be
solid
a plasma.
Solid liquid or gas?
Engineer humor.
Engineering humor.
That's what I love having them over here because they're so much smarter than me. Mm-hmm. I'll never be that smart. Okay, bethos.
Benthos.
Benthos. That's the second child from the Thos family.
Ben Thos.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ben Thos. I'll need a sentence, please.
I'll bet you do. I'm going to make one up. I'm not going to use this one. Benthos is something that may be discussed at a meeting of the Motor City Aquarium Society.
Benthos?
Mm-hmm.
I can't gain anything from that sentence. There's no antecedent in there.
Yeah. Well, it's in an aquarium is what I gathered from that. So
it could be. It could be. That was a good sentence, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was.
A sentence again. Benthos is something that could be discussed
at a meeting of the Motor City Aquarium Society. In fact, I think it has been discussed at a meeting of the Motor City Aquarium Society.
Does it have to deal with cleaning up the tanks afterwards?
Nope.
Benthos.
Fish poop?
That's what I was thinking.
There may be benthos in my home.
Have you auctioned off benthos?
No, not yet, but it might not be a bad idea. Last auction, people were buying everything. We're going to bring in some benthos for them next time.
So it's something that you would sell? You could sell?
Perhaps. You can use benthos to cycle an aquarium when you first set it up if you wanted to.
Is that like the bacteria that's left over from waste?
Yeah, I'm going to give it to you.
Nice.
Organisms that live at the bottom of a body of water.
Okay.
I went soft on you on that one, but,
an odd word.
I know. Not as odd as this one, though.
Oh, boy.
This word, Ron, is from 1610.
This is the last word, right?
This is the last and final word.
I'm 50% right now. I can live with myself.
I didn't even organize them.
I can live
them.
With myself. I'm not humiliated because there have been times where I've gotten none of the words. And I feel like such a loser.
Its earliest documented use was in 1610.
Okay.
You have one chance at a definition. It is an adjective. And the word is usurious.
I know this one.
What's the original? I bet you do.
Do you really know the word?
No. Don't get my hopes up. Usurious.
U-S-U-R-I-O-U-S.
You got it.
Usury.
Usurious.
It's an adjective.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with a U.
It does. Ends with an S.
What's the origin?
Latin.
Latin. Usurious.
Fishes over there doing the whole spelling bee thing.
I was in Quiz Bowl in high school, so I asked the stupid question.
Oh, okay. usurious. It's not superfluous. Usurious.
Usurious.
How about a sentence?
The scenario he and many others feared was the price would rise and rise until it began to rival the usurious rates that journals were charging. Where for instance, by 2011, a yearly subscription of the journal Comparative Neurology could cost as much as $25,910.
So that would be obnoxiously expensive or sky high.
No.
Usurious rates?
Mm-hmm.
Useless?
Nope.
Expensive? Now I'm just guessing?
No. No. No.
No, no, and no.
No.
Not common?
No.
No.
No?
Uncommon.
I'll give her a nice no.
Uncommon.
Ron, right, you should get this.
You should get this, Ron.
I should? Mm-hmm. Sentence again.
Money changers in a temple.
Yeah.
Why don't you just give it to him on a platter? The scenario he and many others feared was the price would rise and rise until it began to rival the usurious rates that journals were charging, where, for instance, by 2020, a yearly subscription to Trains magazine could cost as much as $25,910.
It's like greed? Usurious?
No.
Greedy?
No.
That's what I got from the sentence.
Yeah,
there.
But you didn't get the right definition that's on this paper.
I was trying to read the definition off the paper, but I couldn't see it.
Good.
Is it something about like inflation?
Maybe. Something about like maybe.
I have no, but because I got that too, Zach. Yeah. But I don't know exactly which.
Oh,
word.
There have been many a famous people. Who got their fame from being...
Greedy.
Usurious.
Greedy?
No.
Dishonest?
No.
Now I'm just guessing.
Mm-hmm. Like you borrow a dollar from me and I charge you $5.
Jeez, Hazard? Really?
Yeah.
Hazard wants you to win. He's truly your friend.
Well, like a...
That's a loan shark.
Yeah, that's a loan shark, right?
I could be the lone fish.
Well, describe a loan shark.
A greedy person.
Well... Why is it greedy?
Because he's dishonest and he wants to take advantage of you.
We're not going to give it to you. We're gonna give this, put this one in the loss column for
all right,
you, Ron.
What is it?
In the interest of time.
Right.
Charging excessive rates, especially for lending money.
A loan shark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I didn't do so well, did I?
Are you ready over there, trumpet player?
All right, well, let's find out. I'm getting cues, right?
Yeah. Well, the cues, you better put your headphones on.
Oh, gosh.
The cues are in Ron's read, so I hope you're paying attention.
Oh, all right.
But the way Hazard's been giving things away lately, maybe he'll give you cues.
Oh, this is going to be all wrong.
And that's how we play, big.
Got it.
Better. Let's try this again. Right. And that's how we play, big words with Ron. Oh, my.
I would play trumpet better.
Yeah, it was a humiliating turn. Let's say we had Hyperborean. Which means either cold or coming from the extreme north, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We had Jaren, which is a ruler or manager.
Yep.
Mark got that one.
Hey.
Defeasible, which is relative, capable of being revised. We didn't get that one, did we?
Well, you didn't get that one.
No. You know what, Mark? My self-esteem's in a gutter already. Thank you. Benthos, which is the organisms at the bottom of a tank, of a fish tank.
Or a body of water.
Body of water. Mm-hmm. By the way, the Great Lakes are cleaning up so well that nothing's growing in them anymore.
Oh, nice.
You know? So zebra mussels. Mm-hmm. And then Usurius would be excessive...
Charging excessive rates.
Okay. It's like being greedy, I think. It's just me. All right, it's Jim Morris Jr. here on Motor City Static. I'm humiliated, so anyway, we got music?
We do. Earlier in the This Day in Music, we talked about a band called The Jam, who in 1977 signed their first record deal. This is from a CD called The Gift. It's a town called Malice on Motor City Static.
That's The Jam on Motor City Static, a town called Malice on the Biff Radio Network. We're having a blast. We got Wayne State Warrior Racing in here. And they just witnessed my humiliating defeat at the hands of Uncle Chuck, who is just a terrible taskmaster.
No, I like to play by the rules.
Yeah, you and Ruth are ganging up on me.
She's not even here.
I know. This is the best radio broadcast you'll hear all weekend. I'm fairly confident in that. What do you all say?
Yeah, I'm in with you.
Okay.
Yep.
One out of six ain't bad, I guess.
It's better than anything we could produce.
Well, it's always a joy to have Wayne State Warrior Racing here. I wish we could do it more than just once a year. I mean, we can. It's just everyone's busy all the time. Yeah. So if you ever wanted to come back, just, you know where I'm at.
Oh, yeah.
We'll take care of you. We'll do our best. And let's do the website again here. It is... don't tell me. FSA.ENG.Wayne.edu. You've got to come up with something quicker, something more pithy.
Thanks, College of Engineering.
Thanks, Wayne State.
Yeah. It's like the German language. You just tack a word onto everything, you know? Suddenly, Katzenjammer becomes Katzenjammer Kinder or something.
And then you take all the spaces out and you can't even read it.
I know.
It's like your face rolled the keyboard.
All right. Hazard a Guess is coming up. Oh, my goodness. Hazard a Guess. That's coming up. We're going to talk.
Racing? Is that or automobiles?
Automobiles will be the subject. Automobiles will be the subject. And it's not going to be so hard. You'll all get it.
All right.
Pretty sure you will.
We've divided Warrior Racing into two teams.
All right, we have.
Warrior Racing 1 and Warrior Racing 2.
Okay, back after these messages on the Biff Radio Network. Motor City Static on the air. And I'm on the spot now. Ditton's going to have to help me with my pronunciation here.
Uh-oh.
Because I have a story from India.
Oh.
I kid you not. Kid you not. An Indian man who holds several Guinness World Book of Records titles has another title to his name after sucking down a bottle of ketchup in under 30 seconds.
What? No, I never heard of that.
You never heard of it? Yeah, well, it just happened this past week. Mumbai resident Dinesh Sivnath
Upadhyay.
What is it?
Upadhyay.
Upadhyay. Yeah, it's easy
for
you to say.
How do you know this guy?
Did you go to school with him?
That was my neighbor.
Is that a common name in India?
No.
No? Okay.
Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to continue with the story here, and when I need to pronounce the man's last name, I'm going to point to Nitin, okay? Here we go. Mumbai resident Dinesh
Upadhyay,
whose Guinness accomplishments include fitting 88 grapes in his mouth at the same time and eating 9.5 pounds of peanut butter in 60 seconds.
Wait, that's a record? I could do that.
9.5 pounds, Fish.
Chuck, I got 10 right now. Let's do this.
Chuck, get Guinness on the phone. Zach's got a challenge here.
Okay.
Let's see. 9.5 ounces of peanut butter in 60 seconds. Used a glass bottle and a drinking straw to finish off 14 ounces of ketchup in 25.37 seconds.
He drank it through a straw?
That's right. Okay.
Upadhyay?
Told Guinness World Records officials, quote, "I am doing this record to prove myself as best in this amazing world in this particular record field."
I think he had it at the peanut butter.
A video shared by the record-keeping organization shows
Upadhyay
downing the bottle of ketchup, which he had to finish at least 95% to qualify for the record, and immediately going into the... immediately went into a coughing fit, so...
Upadhyay.
Previous records also include... include fastest time to peel and eat a grapefruit, and most oranges peeled and eaten in 3 minutes. There you go. Thank you. High five.
Yeah.
You had a different inflection every time.
No, I'm just trying to figure out what he's trying to do. I don't know what he's trying to achieve.
That's crazy.
Getting in the Guinness Book of World Records was his goal.
Oh, that's
and
just
by
funny.
Probably doing it in records that haven't been broken in a very long time to do so.
Or ever attempted.
Does he even have
that peeling a grapefruit?
How come that guy's on it? Nathan's with the hot dog.
Yeah. Maybe you'll be there next.
What's the guy? Kobayashi is the guy's name.
Yeah
he's Kobayashi. Every year. Holy cow.
Have you guys ever heard of the LA Beast?
No, what's that?
It's a guy on YouTube, and that's basically all he does is he just eats like ridiculous amounts of food. And there was one where he drank like 3 bottles of syrup in like 4 minutes. It was absolutely disgusting. He threw up after.
Yeah, and his pancreas probably
what's
checked
he called?
Out, right?
The what beast?
The L.A. Beast.
I'll be watching that later tonight.
He does like mayonnaise, and I'm pretty sure he's probably done milk a couple times. It's everything
the
you can think
L.A.
of.
L.A. Beast.
He got the syrup thing from Super Troopers, I bet.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Which, by the way, they're coming out with their second installment of that this summer.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Have you ever seen the people that eat the hot peppers on YouTube? That's quite entertaining.
Yes. Where they try to have like an actual conversation while they're eating them?
Yeah. I evolved from that. My godson is 9, and he was telling me about the people who eat the jelly beans that taste like baby vomit and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
How hilarious that was. So I went home and watched that, and we graduated right to the hot pepper people. But this L.A. Beast guy is taking it to a whole new level.
And in another story here, an upscale pop-up shop in Seattle is drawing attention for one particular item and its unusual price tag. A clear plastic shopping bag worth $590.
Really?
Yep. The plastic shopping bag designed by Phoebe Philo for French luxury clothing brand Celine.
Phoebe from Friends?
Yep. was first spotted on the runway during the Paris Spring Summer 2018 Fashion Week this past January. And the plastic bags are now being sold at the Celine by Nordstrom pop-up store in Seattle. The clear plastic bag bears the name of the clothing brand, as well as a warning in multiple languages that it poses a suffocation danger to babies and young children.
Well, it's not exactly clear, then, if it's got stuff written on it.
The bag is drawing attention not just for its unusual status as a luxury item, but for its luxury price tag, $590. The Celine by Nordstrom pop-up shop is scheduled to operate until May 29th. Now, there you go, Aaron. That's an idea for you and your fundraising arm of Wayne's State Warrior Racing.
Clear plastic bag.
Yeah.
Well, don't they have...
You know what you should do is those red Solo cups. Just do a red Solo cup. It's just plain.
But it's clear.
Yeah, it's a clear... There you go. And charge them $250.
We
got to
put a warning on there.
And then you can go to Nordstrom over there in Troy.
Yeah.
Sell it there.
Well, don't they make, for people who work in retail, don't they make, like, clear women's purses and clear backpacks and stuff?
Well, that, and when, back in the day when I had my girlfriend, she worked at Lord & Taylor, and they had the clear plastic. It's a security thing, so the workers couldn't shoplift from
stuff. What I thought.
How expensive are their ones with color?
Oh, good question.
I'm sorry, if you have to ask, you cannot afford. So, all right, now it's time to do this, right?
Yep.
Live and direct from the Rumpus Room at La Casa de Hazard, it's time to gather around the radio and play another installment of Metro Detroit's favorite radio contest, Hazard. A guess? Yes, kiddies, Uncle Ron has officially depleted the topic bin tonight, and yet we still have a half hour of expensive and valuable broadcast airtime left. So, we present a Surefire Network time killer, one that fits the incredible knowledge of our very own handsome, suave, slick, and debonair lady killer, Mr. Jeffrey Lee Hazard, the Earl of Spiffy, Exchequer of Bling, and Johnny Jump Up, against the brain power of our bright, attractive, erudite, and deeply learned Motor City Static regulars, joined by Wayne State Warrior Racing.
Yes.
This evening. Gather around the radio, my friends. If you're not too careful, you might learn something.
Are you ready? We've split Warrior Racing up into two teams for this. Aaron, you and those two are Warrior Racing
and
1.
Those two.
And Trumpet Player and those two.
But you have a name.
Are Warrior
I have
Racing
a name.
2.
I want respect.
Yeah, at least I remembered Aaron's name. That's all that really matters,
that's
right?
Right.
Aaron and the boys.
Aaron and the boys.
Is that a country act?
Not yet.
Well, I sincerely thank you for all showing up today. I'm having a blast. This is fun, and I hope you're enjoying it, too. Okay. The object of this game is for me to ask a question, and Hazard's a guest.
Yes, Hazard gets first dibs at the answer.
So no shouting out.
No shouting out. You'll get a chance.
And is
probably directed at me.
Could be. And then we're going to go
Hazard, Warrior Racing 1, Warrior Racing 2, then me.
Okay, here we go. Question number one. Here we go, Hazard. You ready?
Yep.
Look me in the eye. The good eye. Oh, by the way, Chuck, I had my eye exam this week.
No, did you? How'd that go?
Very good.
Yeah.
Healthy.
Good.
Happy.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Ready? Question number one. What does the Ford Mustang automobile have in common with an airplane? What does the Ford Mustang automobile have in common with an airplane? I think Zach is nodding his head. He's confident. He's got this one.
Ooh, all right.
Ford Mustang?
Ford Mustang. What does the Ford Mustang automobile have in common with the airplane?
So we're taking turns, I guess.
An airplane.
You need a boarding pass to get on both. Ford Mustang.
Ford Mustang. Man, that's one of my favorite cars. Although I like the Charger. The new model Charger they have.
If it didn't weigh as much as a Ram, I'd like it to.
Yeah, I know. One thing that I heard, I was talking with some automobile engineers. I'm padding for time as Hazard's trying to guess here. The thing is, we've got all this wonderful computer technology in our cars, but it's just kind of sucking the joy of driving out because when you push down on the accelerator, there's a delay because you're waiting for the computer to come in and measure the fuel mixture and getting all the intake and everything done. It's not like the old days where you push down the accelerator and you go. You know, it's kind of like a...
I mean, if you had a performance car, like, say, a Mustang,
well,
it might not be like that.
Well...
I wouldn't say that's a performance car.
But even the performance cars that we have off the line today are not the same as when they were, you know... built by mechanics. Now they're done by, no offense, you know, computer engineers and IT guys, right?
So yeah.
Aaron just shot darts at me. I like that.
Well, I mean, the funny part about that is, like, muscle cars back in, like, the 60s and 70s, like, you could get the one with the biggest V8 you could have, and it was probably around 400 horse.
Yeah.
Nowadays, we have V6s that can kick out 400 horse.
Yeah.
And they're, like, a fraction of the size. So it's...
Yeah,
but it's still not the same.
Yeah, it's
still
not the same.
I like older stuff better than newer stuff.
Yeah. All right, Hazard. We've padded for time. What does the Ford Mustang automobile have in common with an airplane?
The attendants serve you peanuts on both. the styling is taken. One takes the style from the other.
Do you want to...
What?
I don't know.
What?
I think you're closer with peanuts.
Would you like to...
No.
You don't want to expound upon that?
No.
I didn't do it.
Okay. Vague.
Wayne State Warrior 1.
Well, I know working at Roush and also being in the military, Roush actually makes the P-51 Mustang version of the Mustang car.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that they originally started out... Well, Jack Roush, he owns his own P-51 Mustang.
Yep.
And so I know that they did some modifications to engines to be used in the P-51, if I'm not mistaken. So I know it has something to do with Roush, his Mustang line, and the P-51 Mustangs. I don't know if maybe it's the engines or if it's the styling of the car, maybe like Hazard said.
Well, okay.
So I would say probably something along the lines of...
it's all you, man.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of you.
Okay, Wayne State, Warrior Racing 2. What's your answer?
They have
there is a great airplane called the P-51 Mustang that fought in World War II.
Okay.
And it was very feared by the Germans.
Okay.
So they have the same name.
Yeah. What? Chuck, what say you?
I was going to say that, not to that detail, but that it was named after an airplane. So I am going to jump on board with Warrior Racing 2 for this one.
Okay. Eric, tell him the answer.
Well, I just did.
There you go. Ford executive stylist John Najjar is credited with naming the Mustang. Najjar was said to be a fan of the World War II winning P-51 Mustang fighter plane, thus using the powerful moniker for Ford's iconic and first of the pony cars.
I believe it was also made by North American Aviation.
Sure.
The company name
sure.
that made those guys?
Let's go. Let's go with that.
So okay. So it was named after the fighter plane, not the horse, correct?
Right.
Yeah. So that, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was looking for. Oh. Okay. We keeping score on this thing?
Oh, we are.
Okay. So question.
I was halfway there. I knew it had to do with the 51. Because I know they.
Know what the plan, yeah.
Yeah.
Question number two. Here we go. Hazard. What does the acronym NASCAR mean?
Oh, you better know this one.
Yeah. NASCAR, NASCAR. What does it mean? What does it stand for, NASCAR?
Next auto sold, come on in. Or, I don't know. Stands for... what is it? It
NASCAR.
Is National... Automobile Stock Car Auto Racing.
Ooh.
Yeah. Or is it Nationwide? It's Nationwide.
All right. One, two, three, four,
auto
five.
Stock Car.
You've got five of the six words.
We got it.
Auto Racing.
What did you say, Hazard?
He said National.
Yeah, I don't actually know.
Not a small circle again. Rats.
National?
National Association of Stock Car Auto Racing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wayne State won.
Yeah, I'm going to defer. I was going to say the same thing as Hazard.
Same thing?
Here.
Same thing as Hazard. Not Wayne State, too.
We were going to say the same thing.
Same thing as Hazard. So Chuck, what do you say?
That sounds good.
Okay, here we go. Standing for the National Association of Stock Car Auto Racing. It was founded by Bill France Sr. in 1947. And believe it or not, it's still family operated.
Yep. Really?
Yeah.
The grandson, racing down in Florida.
Yeah, Brian, the grandson, is running the helm today. The largest sanctioning body of American stock car racing. The three largest series are the Sprint Cup, Xfinity, and Camping World Truck. Mm-hmm. Okay. Question number three. What World War II contribution is Rolls-Royce famous for giving?
Rolls-Royce?
Yeah, Rolls-Royce. During World War II, they contributed something to the war effort.
Okay, good.
And it won the war. What did they do?
Golden crested doors.
We all know it was Grey Poupon.
Yeah.
It was their motors.
It was their motors for what?
Actually, the Rolls Royce was in the Spitfire.
Okay. Wayne State won.
It's engines for the P-51.
Wayne State 2.
I believe they were in a lot of the aircraft back in World War II.
Okay. Chuck?
Boy, we all going with engines in the planes. I take it?
Sounds good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay. Engines in planes.
All right. Hazard, tell them what the answer is.
Peanuts in the air cockpit? That was motors. It was engines.
Ron's going to have to edit now.
Famous for its hand-built ultra-high-luxury cars, the British car maker is noted for developing and building the Rolls-Royce Merlin engine during World War II.
Yeah,
the 12-piston motor equipped many British warplanes, including the Supermarine Spitfire. Variant was licensed and built by Packard and fitted to the North American P-51 Mustang fighter. Both planes played pivotal roles in the ultimate destruction of the Luftwaffe.
German
Air Force.
Now, here's something interesting in looking up other things. Charles Rolls, co-founder of Rolls-Royce, was the first Englishman ever killed in an airplane and the 12th person worldwide when the Wright Brothers biplane he was flying at an air show in Bournemouth, England, in 1910, snapped its tail and crashed.
Ooh.
Henry Royce ran the company after his partner's death, mailing instructions to his employees when deteriorating health confined him to his home in later years. All right? Let's have a read back. How are we doing?
Hazard and Warrior Racing 1 each have 2 points. And Warrior Racing 2 and I have 3.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Scoreboard.
All right, I have 2 more questions left here. Okay.
All right.
All right.
Here we go.
Hazard. What does Mopar mean? Chrysler Mopar.
Oh, I used to know this.
Chrysler has a division, Mopar. What does Mopar mean?
Mopar?
M-O-P-A-R. You see it all over the place. Mopar. Chrysler Mopar. What does it mean?
It's a vernacular for the street, meaning I need more parts for my car.
I don't think I can attest to that. It's in the shop right now, actually.
Mopar is...
Mopar. What does Mopar mean, as in Chrysler's Mopar? M-O-P-A-R.
The par is performance auto racing.
All right.
Mo is...
Mo is the guy that's manning the counter.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, Mo, I need some brake shoes.
Mopar. Mopar. Chrysler's Mopar. What is Mopar? Don't overthink it. Right?
I know what it is.
I know you know what it is.
There's three versions of it.
Yep.
All could be correct.
Well, you just have to figure out which one, right?
So do we get three versions?
Unlike, I want you to know for the record, unlike Chuck, I'm not a stickler. I'm here to have fun. I'm not here to humiliate you.
I'm educating people, okay?
All right.
You Mopar. Don't almost get a test question, right? Do you? No. You either get it right or you get it wrong.
All right.
In engineering, you almost get points.
Yeah, there's this really cool thing called partial credit. That's where I get most of my points.
That's how I pass Calc 3.
By the way, as we're studying, trying to eat up some time here, Matt Patricia, the new coach for the Lions, his background is in engineering.
Yeah, he's...
aerospace.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
That's actually what I want to go into is aerospace. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I know that.
Gave up that career for
making more money right now than he ever would have made.
He's making like 10 times more.
Yeah, I know. Calculated. Took him, what?
Can you imagine his playbook? Days. What that looks like?
Get the ball out of the quarterback's hands.
Yeah, during timeouts, he's running calculus. Well, now, wait a minute here.
He's got a crafting calculator out. probability.
If this linebacker's coming at Matt Stafford at this fast, how are we going to get it to this receiver?
Exactly. All right, let's go.
Mopar.
Mopar. Chrysler's Mopar. What does it mean? I need an answer.
I can't think of it right now.
Mo.
Yeah.
Par.
It's performance auto racing. I told you that part.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to refer to my boys.
You're going to refer to your
boys?
Yeah. All right, Wayne, state one.
Thought you had three of them over there.
Yeah, what's going on? But I'm trying to figure out what's the right one.
We'll say all three. We'll help you out.
Well, the one of them, I don't
know. We need you close to the microphone.
The one of them, I'll say it's not radio friendly, so we'll leave that one out.
Thanks. Might be it, then.
The other one... Which it probably, well, I'm pretty sure it's what it is more optional parts are required.
Oh, yeah.
We need a rim shot on that.
Not like a Ford found on Road Dead.
No, that's first on race day.
Fix or repair daily.
Say, I'm a Ford baby. My father was a tool and die maker, so I'm a Ford guy.
Mopar.
My grandfather worked at Ford for many years, too.
Yeah. Need an answer. What does Mopar mean, as in Chrysler's Mopar?
It's something to do with more performance.
More performance.
It's like motorsport and performance something
modern
or other.
Modern performance auto racing?
Yeah.
Is there an O in there? Modern?
No, it's more performance and racing.
Motor operations, performance auto race.
Giving up? Would you care to defer?
Yeah, let me think about this. Like
Wayne State 2.
Mark, this is all you, man.
What does Mopar mean, as in Chrysler's Mopar?
All right, well, we'll see what I can make up on short notice.
Okay.
Manufacturer of performance auto racing parts.
That's what? Could you back that up and slow it down?
Oh, manufacturer of performance auto racing parts.
Okay.
That's right.
You got one too many P's in there.
Yeah, well, we'll just kind of, there's a hyphen in there somewhere, probably.
All right. Chuck, what say you?
I like the manufacturer of performance auto racing.
Yeah.
I'm
too.
Going with that.
You are?
Yes.
Good job, Mark.
All right. Guess what? You're all overthinking this. You really are. You know what it stands for?
No.
Motor parts.
Oh, that's what it is.
Chrysler Mopar.
See, I knew that. I was just testing you guys.
Motor parts.
Leave it to Chrysler.
Originally a sort of an acronym for Chrysler Motor Parts, Mopar is now widely accepted as referring to any and all high-performance offerings from Chrysler's auto divisions, past or present, such as Dodge, Plymouth, or today's iterations from Chrysler SRT, which is street racing and technology division like the Challenger. So, motor parts. Chrysler motor parts.
That's what it was.
Yeah. And finally...
optional parts.
You like that too much. I can't say that on the radio. I'll go with this one. All right, Hazard, here we go. Who really designed the Volkswagen Beetle? Who really designed the Volkswagen Beetle? Volkswagen Beetle. The people's car.
It was that hippie I bought that stuff off.
He had a dream last week where I sold him a car that was a complete rust bucket.
It was a Mustang.
Yeah, it was a Mustang.
Was it full of...
Believe it or not, the Beetle or the Volkswagen was designed by...
Oh, look at that. You got a Beetle crawling on you as you say that, Hazard.
Do I?
Yeah, let me get it for you.
Right. Oh, Carroll Shelby designed the Beetle.
See, Hazard, it's right here.
He wasn't kidding.
Beetle. No, it's actually designed by the guy from Porsche.
The guy from Porsche.
Yeah, whatever his name is.
Saul.
Don't let it go on this trail.
The guy from
don't
Porsche.
Don't care if I know this one.
Can I have a name?
Wolfgang. How's that?
Wayne State 1.
I believe it was Ferdinand Porsche designed it.
Ferdinand
there you
Porsche.
Go. You're right.
Okay. No, Wayne was Hitler.
Wayne State 2.
I mean, it was Hitler's brainchild. And I don't know, like,
the Porsche's. Question is, who really designed the Volkswagen Beetle?
I mean, it was Porsche, but...
It was Porsche, okay. Chuck, what say you?
I'm going with Warrior Racing 1 on this one.
Oh, and what about Warrior Racing 2?
He didn't say like... Ferdinand. Yeah, he said, it was Ferdinand. Porsche. This
it was
dude
Porsche.
Had Ferdinand.
I don't know his first name.
Contrary to popular belief, Adolf Hitler had little to do with the overall design of the iconic VW Beetle. He did, however, contract Ferdinand Porsche in 1934 to build an affordable Volkswagen. Oh. That means people's car. Paying attention to me?
Yeah, I was telling getting my point here for the Chuckster.
I'm just going to give us all a point. Jeez.
Is it Porsche or Porsche?
It's Porsche.
It's Porsche.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, nobody says the, that's too much work.
Porsche.
Porsche. Yeah. Okay, so they between the two of them, they emulated the success of Henry Ford's Model T. So that's it. That's all we got here at Motor City Static. That's how about a song?
Work. Sure. We talked about it being Mike Peters' birthday earlier. Here's one from a CD called Acoustic Works on Motor City Static.
There you go, Uncle Chuck. That's for you.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I really wish that I could air what goes on during those records.
It's like TMZ around here, right?
I know. The things that are innocently blurted out between the records. I love it. So
that's why I leave my headphones on with the volume at 10, so I can't hear any of this stuff.
Give us those dates again, though, Ryan. What they got coming up? Those big fundraisers?
Let me get back to my notes here. Completely gone. Where did my
28th, they're doing something?
Yeah, February 28th, we're doing our bake sale at the college.
So you can buy some zucchini bread or something like that?
Yeah, and then March 11th.
Hazard, you should make some of your bread for them to sell down there.
Yeah,
you
we'll
make an
we'll
awesome banana bread.
Yeah, I do.
This guy right here, he's a regular Martha Stewart in the kitchen.
He's like, I wouldn't go that far.
The website is fsae.eng.wayne.edu. fsae.eng.wayne.edu. Warrior Racing Legacy is something that you need to explore about our group today, too. It's been wonderful. Andrew Cucchiera, Aaron Cronell, Mark Tellier, Eric Hopton, Nitin Kumar, and Zach Fish. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Had a blast.
Any other comments here? Social media?
We do have an Instagram account as well, if anybody wants to follow us on that. It's, what is it, Wayne State FSAE?
Yeah, Wayne State FSAE.
We make some pretty cool videos.
Fish makes some pretty cool videos.
take some pretty cool pictures. It's all done on my Google Pixel. So if anybody's looking for a cool new phone, that Google Pixel 2 really has a nice camera. It shoots in 4K, and it's really cool. I like it. So
maybe we'll get a sponsor.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm aiming for. They're moving to Detroit. Google. So
yeah, the bake sale is on February 28th, and then you've got something going on at Cart to Cart on the 11th of March.
Don't forget to bring your significant other to that.
Yeah, where is the bake sale?
It's in the College of Engineering lobby. Okay. So yeah, you can stop through there.
Aaron doesn't want you to bring your significant other to the event.
I was at the one last year and I got my picture taken with some alumni there.
That's cool. So
Hang on.
So Zach, just to make this clear, if I wanted to invite my significant other,
preferably they have red hair.
Yeah, we could go to the bake sale.
We like gingers on Warrior Race. Okay.
All right, that's enough clowning around. This is funny. All right, that's it for us. Ron, Chuck, and Hazard, we're going to be here next weekend. What do upcoming guests? Maestri's rescheduled?
Maestri's the 18th of March. We've got Johnny Kopp in April, the Epilepsy
Foundation.
Yeah.
They're going to be with us.
Team Jitterbug.
That's right. Team Jitterbug.
And if you're in the neighborhood of Bloomfield Hills on Saturday, the 17th of March, 10 a.m., we're going to dedicate Studio A to Pete Bowers. So he's going to be in town, officially naming it the Pete Bowers Studio at WBFH Radio. So looking forward to that. Gang, thank you very much. I hope you had fun.
I had a blast.
Sure?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. I appreciate that. All right. On behalf of everyone here, have a safe week, and we'll talk to you next weekend here on the Biff Radio Network.